This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's up, folks? It's a long-awaited episode of Hitting of the High Notes Jazz Talk. I am here, the voice screaming through your ear holes right now. It is a Who Transuterman. It's H-U-U-T-R-A-N, Superman, on the Twitterverse. You can also follow the Jazz podcast account at Jazz High Notes number 2. You know, we had a wedding. We had a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, really, you know, who cares really about the Jazz right now? So those are the main talking points there. But we are now, you know, here in the middle of May, playoffs are going, hockey's going, and we got stuff to talk about. So we brought on, you know, he's the son of the famous slapstick British comedian, Mr. Bean. It is Alma. What's up, Alma?
You know, just chilling, hanging in there, just ready for it. Anything and everything draft related at this point, because I'm tired of hearing the same four names over and over again.
You know, for somebody who, you know, just in December was not going to do a lot of draft prep, you're doing a lot of draft prep here in May. So.
Well, I don't really have a choice at this point. When I'm talking four names, I'm talking about four names that are playing West.
Playing what now? Sorry.
When I'm saying hearing the same four names, I'm talking about the playoffs. Like I'm kind of over it at this point. Like it's the same guys that are popping off. Let's just fast forward to middle of June, hoist a trophy, show a parade. Let's get to the draft. I've already convinced myself enough that there might be somebody here, even though back in December I was like, this is a crapshoot. There's like maybe one person that I'm even excited for. I've now made enough of a deep dive to where I've convinced myself there's something everywhere.
Hey, you know, people who've been listening to the High Notes long enough have known that I've kind of called this. I said that, hey, you know, people were talking about it, you know, all last year, all summer, all last summer, you know, beginning of the year, this draft sucks. It's worst draft in decades. I said, you know, what's going to happen is that, you know, the Jazz are going to have draft picks. And we're going to talk ourselves into it. And you know, lo and behold, I'm the smartest man alive, is what I'm trying to say. So
I will say I'm not proud of it. Not proud of it.
The Jazz did this to you. They did this to you.
How dare they?
All right. And, you know, as we're here with Alma, we're going to talk about Bet Online. It's the number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. But yeah, so it's been a minute since we've been on the podcast. Like I said, you know, like, you know, the squash, the honey paws, and I, the, you know, go to this is with the distance in Vegas. So we had that coming on. Hopefully we get to talk to Dragon soon about the festivities and how it was. And for those who missed it, Alma got a small preview of what one of the drunken nights was like there, in the form of a text message or a voicemail or something. I don't remember what it was.
A full video, and I was like, I didn't even do anything wrong. It was like middle of the night too, and it was just a fuck you, Alma. And I was like, what the fuck? What did I do?
I was honest,
I thought it was because they went ahead and asked me to help them make a parlay at one of the casinos. So I was just like, oh, okay. And I gave them my honest opinion.
Who did?
Yes, who did?
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. Oh, when you said I was like, they. Oh, I'm part of they. Gotcha.
Yes, you are they.
Gotcha.
So you know, you hadn't asked for my opinion for a parlay. I gave it to you, and it didn't hit. So I thought that that's what it was. And I was like, I mean, I hope you didn't put too much money on it.
I put our entire wedding budget on that parlay.
Now, it wasn't even because of that. It was just because you guys just want to say, fuck you. And I was like, oh.
I think that's what it was. I think that's what it was. So you get to talk to Dragon Squatch. Maybe he'll let you know. So, okay. So, yes. So, it's been a minute. Things have happened. The Jazz. No fault of their own, but they dropped two spots in the draft, and one of the crazy, like, with how chalk the NHL draft lottery was, and then for the NFL or NFL NBA draft lottery to have two teams, you know, with low odds, jump into the top four, the Jazz almost lose their pick. Part of me was kind of hoping that was going to happen, really. I'm mostly here for the chaos this season, because, you know, it's just one of those, like, you know, I hate to say it, I feel like this year just didn't matter. Didn't matter if the Jazz made the playoffs. Didn't matter if the Jazz missed the playoffs. You're already talking about we're in the second round, and, like, you're already tired of the NBA playoffs. The NBA game is suffering for a lot of reasons. But yeah, so if the Jazz had lost their, you know, number 8 pick, 9 pick, 10 pick this year, I think it would have been hilarious, would have been funny. And I know Jazz fans would have had a huge meltdown dropping two spots. In a draft that, you know, we just said it, you know, just 5, 6, 7 months ago, people were like, it's a flat draft. There's going to be some talent, but it's not near the top. People mad about not moving up, people mad about moving down. And for me, it's really hard to wrap my head around because some of these are the same people that were just like adamant, like it doesn't matter. Like this stuff was not going to matter, where the Jazz ended up. You know, these were the same people that were pretty happy that the Jazz were not going to have a top 16 pick this year because it was going to go to the Thunder. And now these are the same people who, you know, just a few months later have talked, you know, you said you talked yourself into a couple of names in the draft. You've done some research. So it's hard for you to watch all these emotions. And, you know, that's maybe it's because I'm not very emotional about this Jazz team. But then seeing how everybody's fired up about something, I think just does not matter that much, I guess. So, but yeah, let's get into it. So, let's talk about the NBA draft lottery. You know, Atlanta, Brooklyn hopped the Jazz. Just luck of the draw. How did that make you feel on draft day, Alma?
So, I was working my day job when the draft was going on, and I was not happy that I had to be at work while it was going on. But thankfully, my GM, he was like, you can watch it. I'll take care of this. We're good. So I fully zoned in. As we were going through like the first handful of picks, I was like, okay, things are kind of going according to plan, especially like Portland, Sacramento, OKC, Chicago. I was like, all right, we're doing good. And then when I saw the Jazz logo pop up at number 10, I was like, oh no, what fuckery did we just get into? Because dropping one spot, fine. But dropping two? Okay, who's at number 9? Then they show Memphis, another team who dropped two positions. And I was like, okay, this is getting really weird. Like, we're really going to hop this much? We get to number 8. San Antonio pops up. I was like, they also dropped two spots. So is everyone just going to leapfrog? We get to number 7. We get Portland, who dropped 3 spots. So I was like, okay, like we got 6 teams left, and Atlanta's still one of them, a team that had no reason to be up here. So we get number 6, Charlotte, who dropped 3 spots. Then number 5, the poor Detroit Pistons, who can never have luck in the lottery, drop 4 spots. San Antonio move up 1. Rockets went ahead and keep their pick to get moving up 6 spots at number 3. Washington stays exactly where they're supposed to be, and Atlanta gets their first ever number 1 pick in franchise history. And it sucks because if this was any other year, this would be the perfect excuse for Atlanta to just start from scratch, start your rebuild. But this is the draft where you will find amazing role players.
Yeah. So we talk about Houston jumping up six spots, right? And this is actually really good because it's not their pick that jumped up. It was Brooklyn's pick from the James Harden trade.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's a pretty sure like that's what the Jazz are hoping to happen with one of their picks from Minnesota or Cleveland, is that's a lottery pick that somehow ends up in the top four.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, so as you said, there's some fuckery was going on.
Where was this excitement for the NHL draft lottery? Like that one was straight chalk. Everyone who was projected where right. they needed to be was exactly yeah. where they wanted and it. It's all because of the leak from John Buchgras.
Yeah, and so like Washington at number two, Detroit having a bunch of teams. Like Detroit's had the worst case scenario happen to them two years in a row, but still two top five picks. Atlanta, hey, 3% chance, 3%, is 3%. Like you have a 3% chance. It just means that it's in that there's not enough people who gamble out there, I guess. Because, a 3% chance is probably not going to happen, but it does happen. So
yeah, there's still the chance there, but, when you look at the overall odds, you're not betting on that 3%.
Right, exactly. You don't bet on that. I don't think this is an argument to just go out there and play, let it fall where it may, because that's a very unlikely thing to happen. It was unlikely. It worked out for the Hawks. They get the number one pick, which is probably good. I don't do draft profiles, but I'm assuming getting the number one pick is probably good for your team.
I would hope so.
You would hope so. I mean, that's the thing. And even in what this is considered a flat draft, there's not a lot of top talent, but there's going to be somebody that kind of stands out. That's going to be the number one pick. So
yeah.
Unless it's the Anthony Bennett year, that was a pretty bad year. But
I don't know how you do that one.
Yeah, so you probably would rather have the number one than the number 10. But people are, again, not Alma, but there are some people who are like, oh my god, this is the worst case scenario for the Jazz. And I'm like, it really is just in a draft where it's just hard for me to hear this is a flat draft for 7 or 8 months, and now here we are in May, the draft dropped two spots. When the talent is supposed to be dispersed, basically everybody feels the same from pick 3 to 20. They said, "I was like, okay, cool. If everybody feels the same from pick 3 to 20, it's not that big a deal, dropping two spots." So,
and that's where my initial reaction, if the Jazz dropped two spots, yes, I will be shocked about the drop. I'm not shocked that they're going to miss out on somebody.
Yeah.
I went ahead and already started drafting up these are the draft prospects you should take a look at going into the draft. Now, those two spots, it does create an argument for me to take some people off that list.
Right.
But, I'm not heartbroken over that.
I mean, I appreciate the work that you're doing and doing all that, but again, so how flat can this draft be if I'm at 8? We're like, okay, well, we have to take this because this guy has to go top 8. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the thing. Like you said, 1 through 3, I think that is pretty set in stone.
Right.
I think the only person that can make an argument to make the jump into the top 3 would be Nikola Topic, but he just went ahead and suffered an injury in his league for their playoffs. So I don't know if that might play a factor for it.
Yeah, and maybe,
but outside of that, everyone else, you can interchange, everyone's pretty much interchangeable. Right. The only one that I would think is maybe borderline crossing it is Isaiah Collier. Yeah. Most draft boards have him at 11, 12. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's a fitting spot. I wouldn't want to take him any sooner. If you take him any later, then you're kind of, I guess, putting a quote-unquote steal, or even Dalton Connect. You might get call him a steal because of his point production. Sure.
But I guess the way I'm thinking about it is that I always talk about how I have NBA tiers. I'm doing a lot of dynasty fantasy football. Josh, right now, and I do the same thing there. Is I cheer people like, you know, C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, right? I have them in the same tier of quarterbacks. You know, if you told me to pick which one I think is better, I probably say Stroud, but it's not by a far margin. When I think about the NBA draft and how everybody said, hey, okay, it's a flat draft, you're going to find talent, and it's more dispersed throughout the thing, I guess I think of, like, you know, maybe there's one, two or three guys in the top one, you know, the top three, those are the guys, and then anywhere from like four or five, and the next 25 picks or whatever are all going to be the same. Like there's maybe a little bit of separation, but if somebody who's mocked at to be at 18 and gets picked at number 9, I don't think there should be a shock, because we've been saying all year it's a flat draft. There's not that much delineation. You just said they were all going to be role players anyway. So
yeah, that's why I don't understand why there were so many people that were like, oh,
yeah,
why? How could this happen? Like, you're going to get role players no matter where you draft. And I mean, it's not a deep guard draft either. So like, that's what Utah is going to be needing anyways. So like, why are you going to be so upset when you maybe have, I want to say arguably 5 or 6 guards that should be taken in probably the first 20 picks.
And for me, that's it's sports fans, not just, I'm not seeing, like, you know, a sports fandom. There's this persecution complex, like, woe is me, it's always my team, it's always me, it's you know, I have such shitty luck that you know, my team always gets the short end of the stick. You know, that's why we blame referees, we blame outside forces, as opposed to, you know, hey, our team just wasn't good enough, or, you know, sometimes stuff happens, or the odds were just against you. Those things happen, and so we decide we want to, you know, feel sorry for ourselves, feel pity. You know, like, the reason we haven't won a championship is some bad luck and bad calls, as opposed to not making the plays at the right time. So, and that's where that comes down to, right? So just another page in the persecution complex that fandoms have, and it's not just Jazz fans, but Jazz fans, you know, obviously have it as well. So, it's not more or less than any other fandom. You'll find it in every fandom. But the Jazz, they dropped 2 spots, so now they're 10 instead of 8. You know, whoop-de-doo. So it's interesting that you're doing all this work to put profiles together for people at pick 10, when there is one obvious answer, who, if the Jazz don't pick him at 10, I think it just, this will make me mad. This will make me rage against the machine. The Jazz obviously should be using that number 10 pick on Bronny James. Obviously. They're having him in for workouts, like you tweeted out today. The Jazz have huge interest in him. There's a smokescreen saying that they want to use pick 32 on him, but I think the obvious choice is to get Bronny James at 10.
I mean, I think 32 is still even a stretch for him, because if you go ahead and look at draft boards, and typically most draft boards are going to be ranking based off of talent, potential, and production and the combine.
Yep.
Do you have an idea of how many players are currently on most major draft boards? Like if you had to take a guess, like, what number would you say, like, how many total prospects would be available
on any draft board?
Like on a majority of, like, major draft boards, like big boards, overall, like with all the prospects.
With all prospects, let's say 40.
So this year, there are currently 70.
70.
Do you want to know where Bronny James ranks amongst all 70?
69. Nice.
Right on the dot.
Yeah.
He currently ranks 69. And do you want to know what most of them put his NBA comp to?
What's up?
Norris Cole.
Norris. So then why is he getting it work? Why is he getting a workout? Why are people okay with him being picked at 32 then?
So my opinion on why Danny Ainge is willing to look at him at 32 is the production that he recently showed at the NBA draft combine.
Okay.
They went ahead and did their catch and shoot drills, which Bronny is not great at, based off of his 1 year at USC. He was shooting just under 20% off of 46 catch and shoot threes. Mm-hmm. And then even in high school, he was shooting around 34%, which that is a shot, especially as a now deemed 6'1 guard.
Yep.
He's going to need to be able to stretch the floor, especially when his assist numbers don't match his actual playmaking ability. I do believe he has a great ability to see the floor. I mean, given who his father is and the work ethic that he has, even if just a small bit of that rubs off on him for his playmaking ability, Utah could go ahead and use that to their advantage and then even use him to spread the floor. But he's going to need to be able to effectively become a better shooter. And again, he's only, what, 19, maybe going on 20, like right around the corner. So, like, there's still plenty of time for him to go ahead and build up his game, but he doesn't have the ability to create for himself.
Right.
So if he's not able to create, he needs to facilitate, find the open three, and has to be able to catch and shoot.
In this most recent
drill that they went ahead and showed his stats for, I believe he was 9th in catch and shoot, where they had them do 25 threes, and I think he went 19 for 25. If I remember right, mm-hmm. It was somewhere around that number. So, like, a lot better, but that's also with no one contesting. But to also put that in perspective, Zach Edey did better than Bronny.
Yes, he did.
Surprising everyone. But, like, overall, I think that 32 is still a little high for him, since there's still so much of him being a raw prospect. There's so much more of a project for Bronny, and to be honest, it would be more beneficial to draft him so you could have him develop in your G League.
Yeah.
But he also openly stated, like, he doesn't want to live in his dad's shadow, so why would you bring LeBron along? I know that there's the want from LeBron James that he wants to play for his son, but mm-hmm. Bronny James said that he would much rather be a Derek White-esque player and be able to perform and do what's best for the team, rather than bringing his dad along and still having to continue to live under his dad's shadow.
Yeah,
so I hope that mature comment works to his benefit, because, you know, those interviews can kind of help draft stock. So I'm hoping for his sake that makes it a little better for him, but I'm still going to need to see more improvement in his combine work, which the scrimmages have been showing a lot for me. He's already shown improvement in the two games that he's done. But then that individual workout will definitely be telling as far as what he is able to bring to the table and what Danny Ainge sees in him that might not be in the public eye.
So he's raw.
Yes, very.
You know, very raw. But, you know, like, your emotion, number 32 pick comes up, the Jazz drafts him at 32, happy, unhappy, like, indifferent. What do you think there?
I think it would spark more curiosity for me, just because when you're looking at him, the biggest complaint that a lot of Jazz fans will have is, why are they constantly bringing in small guards?
Okay.
And with the measurements, they said he was 6'1",
yep,
without shoes. But all of his analytics are showing that he's 6'4". So you're telling me he's wearing 3-inch shoes to go ahead and help him out? So you're getting another undersized guard. Undersized guard that's not very well at protecting the ball from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. But he's going to try and force the ball to himself get the better playmaking ability. So, like, I would be curious to see, like, what is the project that Danny Ainge is wanting to work out? How is he going to want to manipulate his game, or is he going to allow Bronny to continue to play the way that he has already played so far and hope he develops and gets a better IQ on the court continuing to play the way that he knows?
Do you think the Jazz fans, you know, he's in a Jazz uniform, putting on the Jazz cap draft night, how do you think they feel?
I feel like it would be splitting the Red Sea. I feel like half of the Jazz fandom would go ahead and say, oh my gosh, this is great, now we can get LeBron. The other half is going to be like, we wasted a draft pick, we're not even going to get LeBron. I feel like that's just going to be the split. Like, no one's going to go ahead and actually look at Bronny and be like, oh, he's good for this. He needs to work on this a little
that
bit.
No one's
going to look at that pick for that reason.
Yep.
And I think that will also defeat Bronny a little bit more, because if I were in his shoes, I would want to be drafted for my talent, not for my dad.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look.
Sucks.
You told me about Johnny. You told me that quote from Bronny, never heard it. My initial reaction is he's lying or he's an idiot. So he could be, maybe he's both. He's lying because, we just talked about how untalented he is as a NBA basketball player. So, living in his dad's shadow is probably the best he's going to do. And if he really thinks he's going to do it on his own merit, cool. That's great. You know, cut your dad off. Don't take any of his money. Make it on your own. Go see what it is to make, you know, $40,000 in the G League and go on your own talent. Like, I would love to see it. I would love to see him try to struggle and not take any help from his dad. So it's kind of dumb.
And like that would be my personal like best route for him. Like, that would, go ahead and earn it.
Would it really? Really? Why?
Because my reasoning is that this guy is going to go ahead and get a very high draft pick, mm-hmm. just because all these other teams in the league are going to think, if I draft his son, I'm going to go ahead and get LeBron James on a cheap contract. I mean, you're already hearing that the Lakers are considering him to keep LeBron in LA. The Nets are considering him. The Cavaliers are wanting
he's
to
not
bring
very
back
good.
Home the James family.
He's not very
he's not
good.
He's not that great.
So this
so
is the best
like,
he's going
to
do.
A second round pick would be great. So then you can actually have a legitimate reasoning to send him to the G League. And honestly, like, if you could somehow get the workaround to make him a two-way player, I think that would be
the best option for Bronny's career.
Bronny,
for Bronny, really?
Because then he can go ahead and prove that he is a player and he is not a nepo baby.
Cool. He's gonna fail. So, there goes his career earnings.
Because I mean, like, what did Michael Jordan's kids do in the league?
I don't think they did anything. Did they even make it to the league?
I think his son, who was like a center, like made a brief glimpse, if I'm not mistaken. But
cool. What do those guys do?
But that's my thing. I would much rather you go and try and earn your position rather than capitalizing on your dad's money. Money, name, all that. Like, shoot, go ahead and wear your dad's shoes.
Here's the thing. Look at Michael Jordan's kids are fine because, you know, they always had their dad's money to back them up. They didn't need to make it in the league. They weren't good enough to make it in the league.
And Bronny doesn't need to make it into the league either. He can live off his dad's money.
Well, that's
wants to go ahead and continue to be a recognizable NBA player, a respected basketball player.
No, fuck
don't
that.
Live off your dad.
No,
go and find your own way.
Fuck that. That's overrated.
Think that you're going to go ahead and get any respect from any of your teammates if you go ahead and live off of your dad's name?
Respect. Okay. He's going to be.
You think that's
going to
be good for your chemistry? Like, that's going to kill your team.
Eh.
Go ahead and earn it.
Here's the thing. I don't think Bronny's going to make it in the league. So going to be a 2A player, going to play overseas, that's great. He's not going to go get anywhere with it. So might as well just, you know, be your dad's son. You know, that's the why is USC getting him all that playing time last year, or all that screen time last year? It's because Bronny was there. He's going to have his star's not going to shine very bright. But you know, if he just came in to be just a 2A player, it's going to shine less bright if he didn't become a nepo baby. I think nepo baby
then it'll give him a nice reality check. Like he's been fed so many different things. He's like started playing because if we get Bronny, we're going to get LeBron James at our games, and now we'll go ahead and boost our numbers. We'll go ahead and get new donors and. They're willing to go ahead and help us out more. That was a big thing. Like, that's why Ohio State was a big prospect for him. But then next thing you know, he chooses USC because what? You can go ahead and have your dad come to your games because LA, and now you're getting more publicity for a team
pub.
That arguably isn't that great for the Pac-12. Like the women's team, phenomenal for them, but like USC men's, like that's not the team you're talking about when it comes to athletics at that school.
The balls didn't become, LaMelo and Lonzo, kind of flamed out pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, no one's talking about their dad anymore. No one's talking about Baller Brand anymore.
I mean, that's that. But their light shined very bright. It wasn't very long, but it was really bright for just a second.
Just because they're injury prone. Like, to be honest, like, if Lonzo is healthy, like, not a bad player. Like, he's a solid starter. LaMelo, he's too flashy, in my opinion.
If solid starter,
I mean, kind of sucks for that.
Like, solid starter was not Jello. What they were. The problem is that solid starter was not what they were sold to be, I guess.
Fair.
And that's I'll give you that. Like I think solid starter is great if you are not behind the the echo chamber, the public knowing your names and everything. So, I guess and I just want to make one thing really clear before we move on. When the Jazz draft Bronny at 10, I am deleting this episode because I do not want him to hear how much I think he sucks.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we talked about... what are you guys going to talk about? I said Bronny at 10. He said, I'm a Bronny at 10. Don't let anybody else take him. And I told him, like, that's exactly my position. And, you know, this is sort of a bit, sort of a joke, but in a draft where, again, just 5-6 months ago, nobody cared about the people who were going to be there at 10. These are all just role players. I'm okay throwing, at 10, like, right, people will be really mad about this. I'm like, if you're telling me that, my most likely outcome is to draft George Yang, Isaac Okoro, maybe, type player at 10. Christian Braun. I'm like, yeah, give me Bronny, because that 1% chance, not even 1%, it's probably lower than that, but, say let's round it to 1% chance that LeBron's like, yeah, I'll come to play in Utah. To play with my kid, I think that's the start of something. And even if it's not a start of something, I think it's so compelling, so interesting to get LeBron James maybe on his last ride, playing his last year or two in Utah. Just do it. Like, you're telling me that I'm giving up, a solid role player. So someone that could probably, be. I'm trying to think who a solid role player in the NBA right now is.
I guess for Bronny's sake, let's say Reggie Jackson.
Not Bronny. At 10, we're assuming that whoever the Jazz
who the Jazz would draft.
Yeah,
I would say maybe a Jacoby Walter, or maybe a Cody Williams. Maybe even Shepard.
I'm trying to think of the NBA comp. Who on a team right now is considered a solid role player, on Denver. Who's Christian Braun the solid role player for the Nuggets?
I think Christian Braun, Reggie Jackson. Really want a big guy, you can say let's put out a Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis. Okay, so if you're telling me that the Jazz are giving up the chance of drafting Bobby Portis to get a 1% chance at Bronny J or LeBron James, do it. Take it at 10. Number one, I want the chaos. That my God, Twitter would be a fresh hellhole.
I would have to use my entire portable charger for that day, because my phone would not stop lighting up. The 2 days of the draft, I think I honestly have to take both of those days off of work so I can just fully zone in on whatever may happen.
Right. And so I'm willing it. I'm please let it happen at 10, because before you left this job, I said Bronny at 8, and you're like, ugh. And I was like, no, I'm 95% serious. Give up Bobby Portis, get Bronny James and that 1% chance that you're going to get LeBron. And number one, here's the thing. Like, people who complain about the Jazz not getting national attention, they'll get national attention at that point. They'll get national attention,
national attention at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. So you want the national attention? There's another reason to draft Bronny at 10. I know that he's not on draft board, but somebody somewhere is going to be like, you know, at 16, at 17.
Danny Ainge probably has him up there.
So somebody's going to want to draft Bronny. You know, somebody's going to do it before he gets to the second round. Bronny James is a first round pick. Why? Because
and even looking at like who is in that like gap too, mm-hmm. from 11 to 31,
yeah.
Like the only teams that have been rumored to be interested in him that's in that gap is Cleveland at number 20.
Yeah, well, you know what? Good front offices don't leak that shit, you know? So that stuff that's kept in house. You know the famous Dennis Lindsay. I'll fire anybody who lets anybody know that we're interested in Donovan Mitchell. Story comes to mind. So good front offices don't let you know what their plans are. So good front offices also leak your plans to kind of get. This sort of happened to me in Dynasty. So. For those who don't play Dynasty Fantasy Football, right now we're drafting rookies. You know, May, June, you start drafting the rookies from. This is a really good rookie class. You know, let's go back to NBA. Let's talk about last year's NBA draft. We talked about, like, you know, there was a good top five. There was a really, you know, really heavy draft, really strong draft last year. Last year, if the Jazz were at 9 and Bronny James was in that draft, I would say, no, yeah, don't touch. There's too much good talent left at 9, at 16, at 27, there's a lot of, you know, great, good talent left. Don't draft Bronny James. And this draft, I've been hearing for over a year. I've been here since last draft. Gonna be an awful draft. You know, not a lot of top end talent. A lot of, you know, a flat draft. You might find somebody late. You might not. I say that, fuck it. Then I'm just, you know, is that Bronny gamble gonna pay off? You know, is Bronny James going to become a generation talent? Very, very, very unlikely. Is LeBron James going to come play with him? You know, very unlikely, but more likely than Bronny James popping off. But you get a lot of, like I said, you get the national attention. You make it interesting, and you give yourself a chance. You give yourself a chance at LeBron James, which previously in the past 20 years of his career, Utah would never have had a chance to get LeBron James. It's still very unlikely that LeBron would play in Utah, but at least you have a chance. So that's why I'm all aboard the train to get Bronny at 10. I would not be mad at all if that was the pick. Man, like, just think about like the whole like month of July being dedicated to the Jazz because they decided to take Bronny at 10.
And then we'll get Stephen A. Smith saying that LeBron James didn't actually want to go to Utah, but he feels obligated to be in Salt Lake City because of his son. I don't know. There's like 30 different storylines that can pop up on day one from it. And to be honest, I feel like at that point, I feel like the entire league would just turn on the Utah Jazz just for that move. And I don't know if I want to deal with that side of fandom.
I love it.
Especially Twitter. Like, because you know nobody holds back there, so having to listen to everyone's opinions about, like, oh, the only reason why you got LeBron is for Bronny, I'll be like, yeah.
Love it.
I don't control it. That, so I've still got to cover it.
Oh, my God. That'd be so great. Oh, so great. Oh, and then, like, and who knows? Like I'm so my, our, you know, your former coworker, my friend Sam, was talking about, like, how... Like, he was like, nobody wants to play with LeBron anymore. I'm like, I think they do. I think there's still somebody who goes, okay, cool. Like, you go, there's a Utah Jazz team. LeBron James is there. Larry Markin is there. They have a bright future. There'll be somebody who's going to want to ring chase. And especially when LeBron says he'll take less money.
PJ Tucker.
Somebody out there will be like, yeah, that's the move. You know, Devin Booker's going to be like, okay, yeah, you know. Let me move a few hundred miles north, Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I want to be. Right. I want to be next to my favorite coach, Kevin Young.
No, Devin Booker's going to want to. Devin Booker's going to want to move to Kevin Young's former school, former stomping grounds. You know, somebody's going to want to go there. Like, look, there's a plan, folks. There's a plan for all of this, and I think look. You know, this is a pipe dream. The Jazz are not doing that. The Jazz, whatever. But in a year, again, this is a throwaway year. Like, look what happened to the Pelicans. The Pelicans won their, you know, play-in game. They got to the playoffs, and it's got swept by Oklahoma City. You know, how does it feel to be their fans? Like they went through a year where they were really good for a little bit, then they were really bad, then they started going to be good again, and they just got swept in the first round. And they're a prime candidate to blow up their team. That could have been the Jazz. The Jazz wouldn't have been a blow candidate, but the Jazz could have got to the play-in game. It'd be over. Like, that play-in game happened over a month ago. I know that's a lot of fans think they want to see. They want to see the Jazz get to the play-in playoffs. But they would be out by now. The Jazz would be out by now. You know, should the Jazz have tanked harder last year? Should have started the tank earlier? Maybe. I personally don't think they should have. But, you know, as I said, last year, just nothing just seemed like it mattered. Winning and losing games just didn't seem like it mattered last year. This draft doesn't seem like it matters. Like, you know, we're talking about the Jazz. Maybe. Look, there's probably a really good talent somewhere in this draft.
Like, I'm hoping for the player's sake and the draft class sake, there will be multiple diamonds in the rough.
Okay.
Is my personal hope. That's not my expectation. But with how much hate has been put onto this draft class, I am hoping for their sake that has gotten underneath the player's skin to where they want to prove everybody wrong. Like, please do it. Then the NBA can go ahead and have something to look forward to next year.
So the problem for me is that, like, look, that's great that you want that for the players that are in this draft and everything. The problem for me as a Jazz fan is the only way that it affects me is if the Jazz literally just get lucky. Like, that's what, you know.
And that's every team this year. Like, with this draft class,
I get it.
You just need to get lucky. Like, there's not, like, a bona fide star.
But the
in
problem
this draft
for,
class,
the
like,
problem
there has
me,
been in years past.
The problem for me as a Jazz fan is that, yeah, it doesn't matter. Tanking, not tanking, none of it matters. Even scouting. Scouting, it just doesn't really matter. Like, look, I get it. You know, the people who scouted Giannis, the people who scouted Jokic, that's good. But those teams got super lucky. That those guys were still there at 15 and at 41 or whatever Jokic was drafted at. Like, you know, part of it is good. Part of it is skill, but a lot of it, most of it, is pure luck. So, you know, look, the Jazz have three picks in this draft. And so that's the hard part for me is that I don't care how hard these teams are scouting and working. Sometimes Jokic falls to the second round. It's only happened one time where, a multi-time MVP or even a one MVP fell that far, or even Giannis falling to 15. But that takes a lot of luck. It takes luck that nobody else scouted the same way. It takes a lot of luck that, you know, like, you were able to move to a pick that you could pick him, that nobody else had that information. If you're Denver, so say you can go back in time, Alma, to the 2013 draft where Giannis was drafted. Where would you draft Giannis? Like, what pick would you draft him at?
I mean, with hindsight, I would try and take him number one.
Right. You would go back. Like, you would do what you would.
Like, given like what was known then.
No,
like,
that,
you go ahead.
I'm saying, if I know what I know now. Yeah, exactly. I'm saying you know what you know now. Like, you would go back to you wouldn't wait. Like, oh, I know that he went 15, but you know for sure what you're going to get. You would spend that number one pick on it. So, I'm not saying that these scouting departments didn't do a good job scouting, Curry and those guys, but if they knew how well these guys were going to be, they would have done whatever they could to make sure that they got them on their team. they wouldn't have waited until 15 or second round. Or
and, I'm,
seven,
and I'm really right? sure Cleveland would like to take Giannis number one, knowing right. that was the Bennett draft. Yeah.
So that's so it's just one of the things that, you know, it just takes a lot of luck to find these diamonds in the roughs. Like, no matter how much – and that's the frustrating part is that even if I have confidence in the Jazz front office and their scouting or whatever, that the way for them to find a diamond in the rough that's going to be a generation talent is mostly going to come down to luck, you know. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, even if they do the thing – like next year, right, everybody kind of says, okay, Cooper Flagg is the next guy – I don't know if he's going to be generational talent like Wemby, but let's say he might be. The Jazz, you know, you can try to do what the Hawks did, take a 3% chance and get the number one pick, or you go give yourself a 14% chance, and try to do what you can to get to number one pick. So at least you could do something in that case, right? The hard tank. At least get, you know, it, and again, you might get unlucky. You might get the number two pick that year, but that's why I'm I'm pro tank. Is because at least you can do something. You know, I hate kind of sitting around going, well, you know, the Jazz will be good once they get lucky again. You know, from a team that has shown us that they're not great at luck. You know, dropping two spots, having two teams behind you jumped you, it's kind of bad luck. So. I don't think luck is the best strategy for an NBA team. So,
but like even like if you take last year's draft class, mm-hmm. like there were 58 picks, and there were only four that didn't even get any minutes in the NBA. There were what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players out of those that were drafted that played less than 10 games. Like they're. The fact that the league is as deep as it is and there's so much resting, if Bronny is going to have that opportunity to get onto the court, I don't want him to just be a cone. I want him to actually contribute. And that's what I'm scared about is that with that pick, yes, you have that small chance to get LeBron, but now you get LeBron and a wasted roster spot. If he doesn't improve, I want him to improve. I want that to be very clear. I want him to improve and prove everybody wrong that he's not just a Nepo baby, that he can go ahead and hold his own. But, like, from right now, like, at that number 10 spot, that's just a lot of risk. I might be able to be talked into 29, but 32 I think is already enough convincing. And I definitely believe that he would still be available unless somebody decides to pull off some random – ridiculous trade package to move up to get Bronny because they're just so sure that somebody, LeBron is willing to go. That's the thing is that
I think somebody might. I think there's a very good chance. Like, if I go to Vegas right now, I say, yeah, Bronny's a first round pick. Let me go put some money on it. That's how confident I am. So,
when I'm in Vegas this weekend, I'll check what those odds are.
Yeah, Wendover is not Vegas.
Oh, Wendover.
Trust me, Wendover is not Vegas. Like that's the thing is that you're telling me that I can draft a nice role player. Like I don't care. I just don't care about a role player at 10. I just don't. So I want the chaos. I want that at 10 to be Bronny for. For all the reasons we talked about already, because I just don't, a role player that will probably not be on the Jazz team in 4 years just doesn't excite me. So, role players like you, those are just guys. Like you could pick up a role player. The Jazz can go find somebody, spend their they don't have the mid level, but spend mid level exception money to get role players. Like that's role players are just not that hard to find. When you're still searching for a number one, when you're under the cap and all that stuff, you have a lot of tools to get role players, playing time, money. The Jazz have it. That's how you can get role players. If the Jazz are ever like really good again with two of the three stars, then that's a different conversation. But right now, you're telling me, getting a role player like next year, the Jazz have a lot of options, have a lot of tools to get it. So, using that number 10 pick to get a role player just does not excite me.
So with that being said, what trade package would it take for you to get rid of that pick?
The 10?
Yeah.
Any future pick.
Just like any future draft assets,
anything to get out of this draft. Someone says, hey, we want, you know, and again, this is the Dynasty Fantasy Football player in me. Like, I'll give you my 2025 pick for your 2024 pick, you know. And this would be one that, if this is supposedly one of the worst drafts in the history of drafts, that would be good, right? Like, you know, even like pick, people have been saying pick, they'd rather have pick 18 in 2025 than pick 10 in 2024. So, yeah, that'd be great. Five second round picks. That seems to be the going rate for we're buying something. I don't love second round picks, but if you gave the draft five of them, it's probably not enough for me. Because, I just don't like second round picks. But it'd be interesting. Like if that trade happened, like, okay, cool. People love second round picks for a variety of reasons. I don't get why. But, yeah. I don't know what else the Jazz really need besides future assets. This all becomes about asset building, asset accumulation for Danny Ainge, I believe, right now. I think the Jazz are still just collecting assets, and whether that be draft picks / young players, players on the rookie deals. I mean, we saw Ochai Agbaji be worth half a first round pick this year, so I'm cool with that. We're just trying to draft assets right now, so I think that's did you have something in mind for a draft package? Is that why you asked that question?
You just were saying, like, I don't care about drafting a role player.
Yeah.
You're like all in Bronny number 10. So I was like, what could convince him to give up that opportunity? And you're just like, anything, any draft asset. And I was
like, oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Like
move it up. All right.
Again, I'm going off what I've been told for a year. You know, like, my opinion about this draft has not changed from December to May. My opinion about the draft prospects did not change when they were good, when they were, on that win streak, when they looked like they were going to go for at least a playoff spot. My opinions on this Jazz team has not changed from that, from the podcast in December to the podcast in May. All the information that we had, nothing really changed. It's not like all of a sudden, these guys were just, all of a sudden, the son of God came down, Zeus struck somebody with a Herculean power, and now we have three or four great prospects in this draft. Everything has kind of played out the way that I thought was going to play out, 6-7 months ago. So, now I'm just like, all right, cool, we're in a flat draft. Having the 10 pick, great. The Jazz might get lucky that, there have been some top 10 picks that have turned out to be, pretty good. The Klay Thompsons of the world, right? Kawhi Leonard was a 12 pick, I believe, 13 pick. So, there's a chance that the Jazz find a diamond in the rough, but I don't think it matters where the Jazz draft, what number they have, because it all comes down to luck. It just comes down to luck. So, if it comes down to luck, then I just don't, whatever. It's a spin on the roulette wheel. So,
because there's been like solid number 10 picks, like even within mm-hmm. recent-ish memory, like C.J. McCollum, Paul George, Brooke Lopez. You got good guys there.
But I think there's
too many people that are looking at this and thinking, oh, we went down two spots, it's the end of the world. Like, whether you think it's the end of the world or not, like, you're still going to have to deal with the number 10 pick. Like,
I guess
accept it, move on.
I guess to me it's just that, like, again, if we're only basing this on luck, I think the Jazz have the same chance of luckily drafting their superstar at 10 than they do at 29 and at 32. Just if luck is the only factor that we're counting on, and it seems to be kind of what a lot of Jazz fans are kind of going with right now. Like, you know, we just have to get lucky anyway. If we just have to get lucky anyway, it doesn't matter where the Jazz are drafting. You have to get lucky at that draft pick. So you just got to get lucky.
As long as they don't go the Philly route and draft Mikal Bridges and then get rid of him and then realize he's good.
Yeah, so that would be a very Jazz thing to do. So
that sounds pretty on par.
So, Alma, how have you been? You know, you're doing hockey stuff now. You're doing Jazz. You have one less job now, so I hope that's some help you free up your time for your other endeavors.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun as of recently. Like, I've been doing stuff with the Salty Ice Insiders, doing some stuff on the side there. I've kind of taken it upon myself to try and dive in a little bit deeper onto some of the news stories for this new hockey team. Like,
you know, you're way behind Jazz Jargon. You got to catch up. Jazz Jargon's
I've been speaking with Jazz Jargon a little bit, and he went ahead and gave me the website that he uses for his intel. So
Jazz Jargon's been a 1 month lifelong hockey fan. So
he's had some really solid content, like, and even like the site that he uses, it's super in depth. And in my opinion, for what the information that's provided on that site, I think the price is pretty nice. It's $25 for the year. So, I mean, it's a lot.
You're still doing stuff for the Hive. You're doing your videos now on Twitter. He's doing Alma's doing a series called Flick the Bean on Twitter.
We are not flicking the bean on Twitter. We're doing Bean on the Scene.
Oh, Bean on the Scene. Sorry. I really push hard for Flick the Bean. I think that's a much better name. So.
Well, if I put Flick the Bean on there and then I try to put that on a resume, I think they might think it's a bad, like, jokey resume, and I might throw away my application. So I think Bean on the Scene's a little more family friendly.
All right. Yeah, well, it is more family friendly. I'll say that. So
it's been kind of cool because now, like, I'm starting to make some more contacts. I've been networking a little bit, especially with some of the people who've been involved with the Arizona Coyotes. And you know, I'm like almost kind of being seen as like a source, which kind of feels weird. Like, now anytime I talk hockey, we're looking easily at like 5,000 views on any tweet I put out there.
There you go.
So, and that's kind of trickled onto any sort of basketball thing. So
I can't wait. Like, it's cool. I can't wait till you give up on the Jazz to become a Yukon hockey insider. Like, fuck the Jazz. I think our last episode was about hockey. So. I said it, you know.
It was about hockey.
Yeah, so
it was.
Like I said, the Jazz are about to, you know, we're about to find out as Jazz fans how fickle we can be. I think so.
And still waiting to hear back from the season ticket reps about trying to get those hockey tickets. We're pushing 30 days from the introductory event, so.
Yeah.
Still waiting on my phone call. I know I was one of the first because I put in my deposit within the first minute. Are you enjoying that Lauri Markkanen jersey that I got for you?
I did. I haven't worn it yet. It feels nice though. I do like those. I do like those Jazz. How they feel. They're nice. I need to find more times to wear my jersey. It is summer though, so you know
get a little bit of sun, go sleeveless, throw on some shorts, wear the toe thongs a little bit.
Yeah, I was trying to find a Colin Sexton jersey, but they didn't have a Colin Sexton jerseys.
When I was looking at all the jerseys, they had a lot of Keontae George, Walker Kessler, Lauri Markkanen, Clarkson. But then there was like a whole row of like random John Collins jerseys. There were a handful of Hendricks jerseys
John Collins.
But be very proud of the team store. There were like three highlighter yellow jerseys, like the full yellow ones. There were like three of them. Hey, it's
they burned them. See you in hell. See you in hell jerseys.
See you. My theory is that when I went to the Delta Center last week, the ice was not out, so then they could have the court, got to play on it. Not going to lie, I got to show off a little bit. I'm still a little sore from it. I made two half-court shots. Ooh. I am so proud of myself.
Ooh.
And I was hitting from the NBA 3-2. Like, give, oh, give I him, was
Give him the $25,000. Give him the free car. Watch that. Give him the free car.
People joking.
Ken Garf.
I had some people joking with me and recognized my Twitter handle, and they were just like, "Oh, you were the guy that had the car video." I was like, "Yeah, that was me." And they're like, "Oh, well, we know if you went ahead and shot it yourself, not to mess with you, we'll just give you the car." I was like, "Yeah, I'll document it." But my theory is that with those yellow jerseys, they actually use those jerseys to melt the ice for the hockey rink so they can move in that Jazz court so I can play on it.
follow the Salt City Icelander himself, Alma Bean. You're the ice picker yourself. Alma Bean, 23, as in Michael Jordan. He loves big Michael Jordan fan.
Big Jordan fan over here. No push off.
It's good to hear from you, Alma. I'm glad that things are going well for you, business wise, personal wise. Have fun there in Wendover. Yeah, the Wendover, you know, they say that you bend over there, so that's what they say there. So,
I mean, if it's for a couple chips, maybe.
All right, folks, thanks for listening to Hitting the High Notes. This is driving the bus right now. So, metaphorically and physically. Congratulations to Dragon Squatch. The Honey Dragon wedding was amazing. Hopefully, we get to hear from them sooner than later about how.
Been loving the pictures.
Yeah, pictures. Alma, you should hear the stories. That we have some stories. We have some stories to tell you about the wedding. So, the FOMO.
I feel like I need to come with some sanitary things to hear those stories.
Yes, the FOMO event of the year. So, thanks for listening to Hitting the High Notes. We're part of the Believe Network, and sponsored by Bet Online. So, get all your betting needs. Maybe that's where I can bet on Bronny. Being a first-round pick. Go to betonline.com and check that out. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you guys next time.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.